Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We're grateful to have you join us today. As always, we want to hear from you. We have about 28 minutes to go in our show. Give us a call here at 657-383-0944, 657-383-0944. You can call us right here and join in the conversation. I'm happy to have, in addition to our regular panelists, Pastor Ricky Waller, author of Steel High. We're glad to have today a very special guest of mine who happens to have the same name that I do, who is a rising sophomore at Case Western Reserve University as a mechanical engineering major. He's going to talk with us today from our topic, Talking Straight About the Politically Frustrated. And we're speaking of those in this particular peer group that he is a member of. Having said that, let me move right into our monologue so we can have more time for dialogue. Again, the number here is 657-383-0944. We will be happy to entertain your call. So the text today, Ecclesiastes 12th chapter in the first verse, it reads, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Hey, an important message to take from that is the time will come when opportunities will no longer be available, when our strength will be drawn and gone, and we will have no more to muster up, and we will begin to reflect and ask the question, have I done enough to sustain myself until my end? That's a reasonable question, but I would encourage you, as the text says, to remember how you are given youth for a particular reason and to use that the best you can. I want to read a little bit from an article by a young man, and I won't give his name intentionally because I want you to think of this as being anyone speaking these words. And we're going to hear from our special guest today, Reuben Dockery Jr. Reportedly, in his article, his blog, this is what he says. Reportedly, around 75% of voters age 18 to 30 choose not to participate in the 2010 midterms. And why a similar number are expected to stay home come 2018 as well? That's the question that he poses. This despite efforts by both Republicans and Democrats to spur the nation's most passive voting bloc, that being young people 18 to 30 years old. So as examples, he cites October 7th, in that year earlier that year, Michelle Obama told students that voting might improve their sex lives. She says, quote, "Bring that cute guy or girl you have that crush on," she said. "Trust me, they'll be impressed," end quote. In Louisiana, Mary Landrieu, the incumbent senator, promises lower interest rates for students' loans and bigger grants for poor students. She also has a dance, the wobble, at a tailgate party, and has helped a 28-year-old perform what's known as a keg stand, which is doing a handstand on a beer keg while drinking from it. Scott Brown, a Republican runner for the Senate in New Hampshire, recently attended a student party, though he pointedly ignored an effort or an offer by some to engage in some mood-altering pills. The writer goes on to say, this lost generation that doesn't come as too much of a surprise. So why, despite the allure of performing a keg stand with a 50-year-old woman, do young people refuse to go to the polls? On one hand, there are plenty of millennials who just completely are oblivious. You'll never convince them that voting is important. On the other hand, many young people refuse to go to the polls because of a lack of trust in the political process. Considering where a decade's worth of political maneuvering has left us, it goes on further to state that young people do care about politics. They just dislike it. Less than a third think that running for office is an honorable thing to do, according to research from Harvard University, while two-thirds think that politicians mostly go into public service for selfish reasons. Millennials can barely remember a time when jobs were plentiful or Washington wasn't in gridlock. More than a third of them live with their parents. Many vast college debts are there. Small wonder they're alienated. Now, what I want to end this whole thing with is the fact that it is true. When you look at it, there's a huge disconnect and a divide. Now, rap music plays an integral part in how a lot of young people, particularly in urban areas, view these things. And just briefly, I want to, before we bring our guest in, I want to share a little bit from T.I. And when I ran for office a year or so ago, I had a couple of barbershop sessions where we invited young men to just come out and talk with us about what was on their heart, where they were, and what their interests were. And T.I. kind of sums it up a little bit in this song, Bring 'Em Out.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Bring 'em out, bring 'em out. Bring 'em out.
And again, you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reuben Dockery. We're going to talk straight about the politically frustrated. With us this morning, we have my son, Reuben Dockery Jr., as well as our esteemed panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. Gentlemen, how are y'all doing today?
Doing well. Doing well.
Doing good. Thank you, Pastor Dockery. And Pastor Dockery, you've been doing good, man. You got your son on there. That's a great thing.
Oh, yeah. We're happy to have you back.
Yeah. How you doing?
Go ahead. I'm set.
Good.
I'm doing all right, sir.
That's good. Very good.
All right. So, yeah. So let me begin with you, Ruben. Where did I go wrong in our introduction in the monologue? Is there any truth to the things that the young man said in his article, his blog, and my point that I made about bringing T.I. in and the other factors?
I think that can serve as a motivation for engaging these young people in the political process. By, you know, introducing something, T.I., something that they can already relate to, they can, you know, engage some kind of that motivation that I was referring to.
Okay. Interestingly enough, Pastor Wallace, some older people might argue that you shouldn't use him because he have too many negative associations with his rap songs and the drug life and the gang banging life and things of that nature. Is that a fair assessment, do you think?
What I would say, Pastor Doctor, is this: when you write where you are, it's a good thing. It's nothing bad about that. It's just in order to get where you're going, you have to first be where you are. And words are powerful. So in order to depart from the thing that's causing all of that, because you were talking earlier about the rap. And the rap game is called negative rap. When you put negative rap into motion from wherever it comes from, it brings forth power. And when you have power that's on the panel with you today by the name of Ruben Doctor Jr., that can basically give us great information, you know, concerning, you know, what to do to depart from that. You know, when you depart from evil, you start to doing good. You start to seek peace and proceed. So, you know, I'm just grateful to hear what he has to say about a lot of things that could be done to change the direction of the young people, you know, that's captured. Because they're just captured right now. You know, I talk about a trap a lot. And so when you're in a trap, you're supposed to say things like that. But I know God will meet you right where you see. God will meet you right where you are and show you how to get out of it. So that's the good news.
Right.
Yeah, that's
Ruben, if you don't mind, can you we had a conversation recently about he ran across a town hall they had in Chicago dealing with some of the crime and, you know, some of the things facing young people, and a African-American male youth stood up. And he had some pretty indicting statements to say. Will you speak to that a little bit, Ruben, and kind of share with our listening audience and give us, what do you think that relates to what we're talking about today?
So this young man was asked the question that does he think this new police chief will be able to effectively curb the violence in Chicago. And he replied, well, the police is not going to be able to do anything because the violence, the police are reactive and not proactive. The issue with the violence is it's where it emerges. So he asserted that the violence stems from economic kind of deficiency in the black community, and kind of those things. I think they are slightly related to political apathy, and not wanting to vote. I guess it is kind of ironic because these people, some of these people who rely on the government for assistance, don't want to go to the government to actually make some change through using their power to vote.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and if I might say this, Pastor Waller, you know, and listening audience, we have a midterm election coming up, and to a large extent, a lot of the people that represent you in Congress, in the House of Representatives and the Senate, as well as on the state level, are going to be up for reelection. You have to ask yourself, what have they done for you lately? And is this a good time for you to have your voice heard and to effect some sort of positive change along the lines of what Mr. Darker was just talking about there?
Yeah, I think what your son was talking about just then, man, I really appreciate him sharing that, because here we are right here. You know, let me be an example to what voting would be about and what it would be like and how could I have an interest in when I'm in the streets and when the streets have me captured. My mindset don't have to worry about anything about a vote. You know, I'm already, you know, I have some songs say, vote for me and I'll set you free. You know, rap on, brother, rap on, you know. Yeah,
right.
You know, you're out there talking about survival, you know, day in, day out. You know, can't hardly get a good night's sleep. And so you don't have voting on your mind for the most part. When you're really out there hustling, when you come up and you're captured, you have a pattern of thinking. And, you know, the Bible says that when we come to our senses and escape the snare, the trap of the devil, having been captured, taken by him to do his will. See, he has a will, and there's not inside of his will. Voting for no rights. We already have the rights. You know, the hustle game is our rights, and getting money is our rights. And so who's the president and all these other different areas of voting has no interest in the people who are really actually hustling like that, man. So I thank God for brothers like Ruben that can steer us in another direction. You know, that's what is going on, man. It's a need. It's a great need, you know, for us to take our rights and utilize them and know that voting is a right that we have. And we should be able to do that without nobody being able to say we can't do it.
And absolutely.
Yeah, that's what's going on.
I want to point out a few things, gentlemen, and this is in line to what you all are speaking of today. When you really look at it, you know, there are a lot of young people, and I learned this during my political campaigns. We would go to addresses where we assume young people would be living with their parents or someone else, right? Come to find out they moved around, you know? So there's a lot of mobility, no stability in their life. And so you couldn't really track them down to find out where they were anymore, right? A lot of them live their lives through imagery and ideas suggested via the TV. So they don't get any facts about what's going on in their community or in government and how it might affect them, because their reality base is reality TV. You know?
That's it.
About half of those that are registered, basically, they refuse to associate themselves with either of the two major political parties, Republicans or Democrats, right? And
correct.
What happens is their voice and interest is not heard when these two parties develop themselves a platform of important things they're going to work toward legislatively. I'm not suggesting they have to be a part of either one of the platforms. I'm saying that if nothing else, they should come up with their own platform. They could, certainly, anyway. These are forms of empowerment, right? There is a sense of self-perpetuating hopelessness, basically, that a lot of young people feel who are voting age, and that's 18, and we're really talking about 30, 35 years old. At the end of the day, rather than going and doing something proactive for themselves, they wind up tearing up things. They wind up being in a crowd that say, we are mad and we want to protest because somebody got killed or somebody was wrong. And they wind up being the ones who are doing more killing of one another, right? And just imagine, gentlemen, if we turn the numbers around, only 25% of them participate, right, in the election. What if 75%, Ruben, of young people 18 to 35 were organized and engaged in this process, and they came up with an agenda that will make sure in the next 20 to 30 years, the next few generations will have what they need socially, economically, politically. What would happen there, Ruben, if that was the case? What do you think?
I mean, I think that is a plan for success. You can eliminate some of these problems, like you're saying, economically, socially, by, I guess, being organized and addressing them in the proper manner through the legislative system, you know, the political system.
Right. If you don't believe that, though, one of the questions we posed, Pastor, in our question thread on Facebook today, one of the questions that we posed was, if young people, 18 to 30-year-olds, were in control and ruled the world, what would it be like? You know, would it be reflective of where they are today, or would we have any positive proactive change?
It's a change. Go ahead.
That's an interesting question. I think it depends on where this group of young folks, if they ruled the world, where their mind was. They were mature enough to, you know, kind of establish themselves instead of kind of being immature and you know, since they have all the controls and they can do what they want. I think it all depends on kind of where they're coming from.
You know, Pastor does a beautiful job in his book. Of course, you've read it, talking about this trap, this cocktail of events and circumstances that cause one to be trapped. I wonder if that's how they would process the world and their power that they have invested in their leadership is through the mind of someone who's trapped. What about that, Pastor?
Man, it's amazing, you know, that you said that. And I was thinking about the percentage, you know, 75%. What would it be like if the young people had control at the age of 18? It would be a wonderful thing, I do believe, because I myself, the category, that young person, because I didn't change until I was 34 years of age.
Okay.
So you can imagine being captured for 20-plus years of my life, going down the path of unrighteousness. And the Bible says that the sharp man sees the evil and takes cover, while the simple goes straight on, get in trouble. See, you got a sharp man on the now. Little Reuben Jr. is a sharp man. You see, and this is just not boasting. This is just giving credit where credit is due. And see, I thank God for sharp men, because see, I was the simple and I went straight on and got in trouble. So that's why the percentage is so low for us today, because there's a lot of brothers out there that's doing the hustle thing because they've been captured, not because that's just what they want to do. You know, sometimes they say you're doing what you want to do. No, you are in the command once you get in that trap. And so I just thank God, man, for there's hope sitting on the panel for any young brother, you know, who basically needs some help. And it's not because it's Pastor Reuben Doctor's son. Is because of the work that you put in and how you establish it. Not everybody had it. So it takes somebody like him to change that percentage, you know, from 25 to 75. And yes, you would have a better world because you would have black young brothers standing up for what's right and applying in their lives, man. Because there's a lot of us captured, and I've seen these young brothers just last night, man. 16, I asked them the age. One was 16 and the other one was 15. And they snatched guy's telephone out of his hand, and they didn't know who this guy was. This guy here was a gangster that had been to prison for many years. He didn't even run after him, man. He left him alone. He said they need a good spanking. That's exactly what he said. So I'm saying to you, this is some of the things that's going on, man. He said they just didn't know who they was with like that. And that was the honest God truth. However, I just continue to hear, man, that hope that you have on the panel in these last minutes, man. So that's my take on it, brother.
All right. Wow, man. I tell you, you know, I appreciate that. And, you know, I think about, gentlemen, the one young man that was at one of the barbershop venues. He stared me down. He stared me down for a long time before he said anything. And when he spoke, I mean, his words can never be truer. And essentially what he said was he knew that I was a pastor, but he knew I was running for political office. So he took a ding at both preachers and politicians, said both of them have failed to give us what we need and the teaching, the guidance that we need to be ready and so forth. And, you know, my ego wanted to be offended, but the reality was, guess what? He wasn't lying.
Uh-huh.
He was telling the truth. He was telling
it
like it was. And as it would happen, there was another preacher who came out that was in the barbershop. He took grave offense at it, and basically he became the target of the young man's frustration. And we were able to, I hope we were able to bring some resolution in that situation. And don't know where the young man is now, but I think about him often, that there's a tremendous need to go back and to make sure, even if you're not in political office, that young people have the information and the support that they need to be productive. You know, we want to get them to God, but they can't survive in the streets, Pastor.
Yeah,
you
I
understand
know
what I'm saying?
That's right, man.
So that kind of tells me I got to take a little bit of what I got from the word to the streets now. I mean, we got to keep it 100 now. We got to keep 100.
Yes, sir. If I could say this right here, man, you know, they're out there crying right now.
I
cried unto the Lord, and I showed him my complaint. You see, and that's what they're showing, their complaint. They said, we are captured. Nobody won't rescue us. And so, you know, that's what's happening out there, man. They're crying out, man, real loud, you know, real loud.
Ruben, let me ask you this last question in the last few minutes we got. If a baby is hungry and has not been properly fed and cared for, can you fault that baby for crying as loud as it can?
Go ahead.
No, you can't. I think that question is kind of rhetorical. It kind of answers itself.
Go ahead.
The baby doesn't have the things it needs, so it's going to, you know, react in a certain way that maybe it can call someone else to get it for him or attract some kind of attention so maybe someone can help it.
Talk, young man.
Suppose that baby get big enough to say, if you won't get it for me, I'm going to get it the way I live, and I don't care if you don't like the way I get it.
That's tough. That's a very logical progression, and it's a very natural one. They've never had any rearing to tell them that that's not necessarily the correct way. But
go ahead.
In that event, in that case, which it seems like, you know, you're kind of relating that to young people today, that's exactly what happens.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Give us 30 seconds, Pastor, before we get out. We got 2 minutes here. Give us 30 seconds to live by.
Man, I just thank God for what was shared, man, for Ruben Jr., man, to just come in and just enlighten us. And, you know, the Bible teaches us that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom.
That's right.
But in all getting, get understanding.
Get an understanding.
I'm sure for those who are listening and tune in, we'll get some understanding out of this young brother and what he just shared with us, Pastor Doctor. I want to thank you again for having him.
Oh, well, thank you. All right, Ruben,
welcome,
give us 30 seconds to live back before we get out of here.
I appreciate you having me on. I'm glad I was be able to contribute to the conversation. Maybe, you know, get some dialogue started.
Sure.
We're just starting. So this will definitely stem on to another conversation and be continued.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. In our last minute, thank you, Pastor Waller. Thank you, Ruben Jr., and thank you, listening audience. This is Talk Straight, your host, Reverend Dockery. www.bfcinstitute.com is our website. Please go there. Learn about our traveling lecture series and make a contribution, a tax-deductible contribution, to our cause so that we can spread this word around throughout our several target cities throughout America. We're based here in Nashville, Tennessee. Give us a call if you want more detail. Be happy to respond accordingly. Stay tuned for our next episode. We're talking this month about things related to politics and political science. We want you to join us as we speak about what is political science, the science of politics, on this coming Thursday. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Ruben Dockery. We'll see you on Thursday. Thank you.
Don't you know you got to